Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Power of the Superconscious Mind. This is CJ Savage. I'm a certified hypnotherapist and a past mental health specialist. You can find my blog on www.yourmindhowtouseit.blogspot.com. That is yourmindhowtouseit.blogspot.com. I have a website. It is thehypnosisqueen.com. And I also, you can find my CDs on cdbaby.com/artist/CherylJSavage, or the same thing under CJ Savage. Okay, last week we talked about the 9 simple exercises that you can do to guarantee to increase your income to or attract money to you. Either increase your income, and if you don't have any income, then it is to help you to attract money to you. 9 simple exercises, and we ran out of time, so we're going to pick up where we left off. And there was nine that we talked about. We went over most of them. We got to number 6, and number 6 was about in order to for the universe to work with the universal laws and be able to have the law of attraction work for you, to live the life that you want to live and to have, be, do what you really, really want. The one universal law was to forgive, and that is extremely important. We went over that, and I think we finished mostly up on that, but you have to forgive anyone and everyone that has ever caused you any harm or pain, no matter what. And there are ways to do that, and I talked about the ways to do that, and you might catch, you can go back to last week and you can replay it, but this is a very hard one for a lot of people, but you have to do it. And you can start by writing it out. You can start by writing down all your feelings and then let it go. Ask God to help you to forgive. But holding grudges or any kind of hate or ill will in your heart for any reason, for anything or anyone, will only hold you back. You cannot revolve. You cannot really move forward and have, do, and be what it is that you really want if you don't forgive. So it's extremely important. Remember, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. So when you start forgiving someone, you start healing, and you can move forward and have a life of abundance and real happiness. So just ask God to help you. That was number 6. And number 7 is basically we got cut off on that before. So number 7 is meditate every day. This is very important to do if you need absolutely nothing or want nothing more than what you have right now. I ask you this, do you pray? Because if you believe in praying, then you understand you are talking to God or that higher power or whatever you want to call it, whatever your religion is or your belief system. When you pray, you are talking to God. So I ask you, when do you listen? Really listen to God. When you meditate. So if you want to listen to God, you need to meditate. It doesn't matter whether you meditate on your own or if you had a guided meditation. It is still reaching the alpha or the theta state of mind when you meditate. You are listening to that higher power, even in a guided meditation that may be for something like weight loss or stop smoking or reduce stress or become rich and wealthy in a hypnosis session. You're still doing the guided meditation, which is a meditation, which means you reach that theta state of mind. And when you reach that theta state of mind, then you are starting to listen to God. And you may actually shut out anything anybody's saying to you in a guided meditation. You may shut that out, and then that superconscious mind, which you may be more familiar with it as the subconscious, is literally going down into every cell of your being. Every cell of your being, remember I told you, has its own intelligence. So when you think a thought, and you think on it long enough, it goes down into every cell of your being, and when it does that, you're manifesting. So try to meditate at least 15 minutes a day, every day, to connect to that universal power, that higher power, to God, the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, but there's only one universal power. And that one universal power is in all of us. It is everywhere. The subconscious mind, now I speak, I use them both. The subconscious mind, now more commonly known as your superconscious or your higher consciousness or your higher self, is where all your power lies within you. Now, I could talk about the superconscious mind for 2 days, but we don't really have time, so just understand that when you learn to meditate and practice it, you will strengthen that inner power within you by connecting to the higher power, which is all the same. That is your godhood within you. When a man has certain characteristics, he may call that his manhood, like having a hairy chest. Well, you have what's called a godhood within you, which is your superconscious mind. It is the spiritual part of you and is pure energy. It is in every cell of your being, and every cell of your being has its own intelligence. Every physical thought, every physical conscious thought that you think, which you are in control of, manifests into that superconscious mind. The physical consciousness has what we call a critical factor, so it can flow with negative thoughts easily if you let it. People tell me, but CJ, I can't help what floods into my mind. I have a million thoughts a day about things I don't even want to think about, but I do. I can't help it. And many of them are very negative, as you say. So you get what you think about. Period. It is a universal law, and the most powerful universal law that there is called the law of attraction. So go back into these segments and replay how to get rid of negative thinking. And when you do, your whole life will do a 360. Now, you get away from the negative thinking and you meditate, your intuition will only become stronger and stronger, and you may even become clairvoyant, clairaudient, or clairsensitive. But just as Jesus said, what is in me is also within you. You will find more peace and harmony in your life, more love, more abundance, and more happiness when you meditate. Now, how do you meditate, somebody asked. Well, this is a three-step process to be done all at the same time. One, you get in a very comfortable position, lying down or sitting up in a chair, and I would suggest sitting up in a chair, but keep your spine straight in a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. Then, second, while in that comfortable position, close your eyes and take a deep breath through your nose, mouth slightly open with tongue off the roof of your mouth, tongue relaxing on the floor of your mouth, and with your lungs full of air, hold it as long as you comfortably can. Then exhale slowly through the mouth while relaxing your body with eyes closed and relaxed. Look up and out into the universe. Now, your third eye is just slightly above the eyebrows, in between the eyebrows, between and slightly above. So you would be looking up and at that focal point, out into the universe, at and like through your third eye. So this will help you also to relax your eyes and look out through the third eye. That's what we will call the spiritual eye. So you will simply close your eyes, take a deep breath through your nose, mouth slightly open with tongue off the roof of your mouth, and with your lungs full of air, hold it as long as you comfortably can. Then exhale slowly through the mouth while relaxing your body with your eyes closed and relaxed. Look up and out into the universe. With your eyes relaxed, look out through your third eye, the spiritual eye. Now, the third thing that you can do, is one of two things. Whichever one works for you, I do either or, and basically, I like both. The third thing that you're going to do while you're in a comfortable position and your eyes are closed, doing your deep breathing, you will count slowly on your fingers by tapping or pressing down one finger at a time to count while you inhale, and count again with your fingers by gently pressing them down. One, two, three, four. four, five. While you hold your breath, just count to whatever is comfortable for you. While you hold your breath, and then count again while you exhale. The reason that you're doing the counting is it actually is like a physical blocker, the physical conscious blocker, so that other thoughts don't come flowing in. So if you focus on the counting as you breathe in, count again as you hold your breath, and then count again as you exhale, then you are redirecting your mental thoughts to focus on the breathing and the counting, so you go into the theta state very quickly. Now, as you do this more and more, you may be able, you're probably more likely you'll be able to count even further each time you do this, because you are actually exercising your lungs. So you'll count as you are letting all the air out of your lungs and then pushing out even more with the stomach muscles. You may be able to even count even further. Whatever is comfortable for you, don't do this to where it's very uncomfortable or uncomfortable, just what is comfortable for you. After you do this long enough, you will find that you'll be able to count farther each time. But when you do your deep breathing exercise, try to focus on doing at least 10 deep breaths. If you focus on doing 10 deep breaths and let go of the mind, as you will go into a deep meditative state and reach that theta state of mind. If you find it difficult to relax with so much on your mind, too much caffeine, stress, and recapping an event of something that has happened that day, just continue practicing this exercise and you will absolutely reach at least the alpha state, which is a light trance, and it is still connecting to the higher power. You may consciously feel more awake, and even so, you may still easily see images, visions, premonitions, as your intuition increases, and using your higher power to connect to the higher power of the universe, you will find more peace and happiness in your life. If doing a meditation on your own is too difficult, I strongly suggest that you get a guided meditation by using something like a hypnosis CD. Again, you can find the CDs on www.cdbaby.com/artist/CherylJSavage. Okay, now the second thing you can do, I give you two alternatives here. On the third step, while you have your eyes closed, sitting comfortably in a position, and two, taking your deep breath, when you take a deep breath and you hold your air in your lungs and you're holding your breath, then as you exhale, it's kind of like saying a word, only it's like singing a song in your mind, only you will be just doing it silent in your mind, and you'll be using the ah. Ah, it comes from, it's a extension of God. Allah, Krishna, Buddha. Ah is a magical word. And ah will also help to send you in that theta state and connect you with a higher power magically. Now, I really like the awe, and when I do the awe, I actually become very clairvoyant very easily, and I learn things. So it depends on what my intentions are. If I'm just relaxing and getting ready to do, say, hypnosis, I might count. But if I'm wanting an answer to something, then in my mind, when I exhale, I will silently in my mind just go, ah, ah. The awe is magical. Try it. I know it sounds kind of strange, but it works. Okay. When you pray, you talk to God, and when you meditate, you listen to God. So remember that. Okay, the eighth thing that we talked about doing. The eighth thing is goal setting. Now, this is, remember, this is nine simple exercises that you can do to attract money or increase your income. Goal setting is really very important. Now, I ask you, do you have a current list of goals? Well, if not, your bank balance is probably not anything to brag about. Writing your goals paves your way to achieving in life and having the success and the wealth that you want. Jim Rohn has some of the best goal-setting criteria as anybody I know, In his CD set called The Art of Exceptional Living by Jim Rohn, that's Rohn, R-O-H-N, he says having goals will change your bank balance drastically. Jim says that on his goal-setting chapter, we are all affected by five factors: environment, events, knowledge, results, and our view of the future, our dreams. Let's talk about our dreams. That's most important. Make sure that your dreams are the greatest influence on your daily decisions and activities, or make sure the greatest pull on you is the pull of the future. For your dreams to greatly influence you, for the future to pull you, your future must be well planned. There are two ways to face the future. One is with apprehension, and the other one is with anticipation. Guess how many people face the future with apprehension? Why? Because they don't have it well designed, and without really thinking about it, they're probably bought somebody else's view of on how to live. You will face the future with anticipation when you have planned the future that you get excited about, when you have designed your future results in advance. In this way, the future will capture your imagination. It will exert an enormous influence on you, and to design your future, you must have goals. Well-defined goals are like a magnet. They pull you in their direction. The better you have defined them, the better you have described them, the harder they work on you and the stronger they pull. They pull you through all kinds of difficulties, too. And without goals, it's easy to let life deteriorate to the point where you're just making a living. It is not difficult to get trapped by an economic necessity and settle for existence rather than substance. We all have a choice. We can either make a living or design our life. Jim Rohn's boss said that he didn't believe his bank balance was a true indicator of his level of intelligence. So Jim was really happy to hear about that. He told him he had plenty of talent and ability and much smarter than the bank balance indicates. That turned out to be true. Jim asked then, why then isn't my bank balance bigger? His boss told him, because he doesn't have enough reasons for accomplishing great things. If you had enough reasons, you could do incredible things. Reasons come first, answers come second. Life has a strange way of hiding all the answers and disclosing them only to people who have been inspired to look for them, who have reasons to look for them. When you know what you want and you want it badly enough, you will find ways to get it. Remember, I talked about this earlier. Using the one command, writing out your goal, what it is that you really want. Take a piece of paper out, write across the top what it is that you want. Then use the one command, whatever your goal is. Say your goal is, I am debt-free by December 31st, 2010. Then you write, I don't know how I'm going to be debt-free by December 31st, 2010, I only know that I am now and I am fulfilled. Then in the middle of that paper, then you write down the reasons that I want to be debt-free. Now, if you don't really have any reasons, then you really don't want it very badly. And if you don't want it very badly, it's nothing more than a wish. We talked about this. Then you write the next statement you will write down there is the reasons I believe I can have this, or the reasons I believe I can do this, and then you write down the reasons. Anything just flows into your mind, I'm worthy, I expect it, blah, blah, blah. But people find that they don't really know what they really want. So when you do this method of goal setting this way, and you have to start writing the reasons that you'll have it, then by doing so, you will find you'll start to eliminate some of these frivolous wishes, and they're nothing more than a wish, and you don't care whether you have it or not, because you don't really have any reasons why you want it. Okay? So if you missed that, go back to last week. We talked about that last week, and that I spelled that all out for you very carefully. Okay. I got off on a tangent there, and I'm going to get back to what I was thinking about, what I was talking about. You do have to have enough reasons for accomplishing the things that you want. If you don't, you'll never accomplish them. if you have enough reasons, you could do incredible things. And by writing this all out, you're going to come to realize and find out what it is you really want. Reasons come first, answers come second. Life has a very strange way of hiding all the answers and disclosing them only to people who have been inspired to look for them, who have reasons to look for them. When you know what you want and you want it badly enough, you will find ways to get it. The answers, the methods, the solutions will become evident to you. What if you had to be, what if you had to be rich? You had to be rich for whatever reasons you got. You've got good reasons, but you had to be rich. Are there enough books and tapes and I don't know what all on the subject? The answer is yes. There are plenty of good ones, really good ones. But if you really don't have to be rich, you probably won't read the books or listen to the tapes. But if you really had to be rich, you would listen to them. You would read the books. You would listen to the CDs. What drives us to find the answers to necessity? So work on your reasons first, answers second. What are some of the reasons for doing well? Well, it varies from person to person. And if you did a little soul searching, I'm sure you'd come up with a list of reasons why you want to accomplish great things. There are personal reasons, sometimes uniquely personal reasons. Some people do well for the personal recognition. Some do well because they love the way it makes them feel. They love the feeling of being a winner. That's one of the best reasons. I have some millionaire friends who keep working 10 to 12 hours a day making more millions. And it's not because they need the money. It's because of the joy, the pleasure, and the satisfaction that come to them from being constant winners. To them, money is not their main drive. It's not the money. It's the journey. You ever hear someone say, if I had $1 million, I'd never work another day in my life? Well, hey, that's probably why that person didn't get $1 million. That's why the Lord sees to it. They just don't get $1 million. They just quit. Family is another reason or motivator for doing well. Some people do well because of other people, and that's a powerful reason. Some people do things for other people they would not even do for themselves. Benevolence, the desire to share, can be a powerful reason for wanting to achieve. Some people do extremely well just gathering up resources so they can then be benefactors. When Andrew Carnegie died, a slip of paper was found in his desk that he had written when he was in his 20s, and on that paper he wrote, I'm going to spend the first half of my life accumulating money, and I'm going to spend the last half of my life giving it all away. And he did. He was so inspired by his goal that he accumulated $450 million, and the last half of his life he gave it all away. Now, I ask you, what has inspired you to get up early, hitting it hard all day? What has turned you off? Find a long list of reasons to be inspired, the drive to do something unique. And here's how simple goal setting is. Decide what you want and write it down. Make a list. That's how profound it is. Decide and write it down. Where you want to go? What do you want to do? What do you want to see? What do you want to be? What do you want to share? What do you want to have? What projects would you like to support? What would you like to be known for? What skills would you like to learn? Some extraordinary things that you'd like to do and some very ordinary things that you'd like to do. Write these things down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. The most successful people write all the time. They write down their thoughts. They write down their goals. They write down what they want to do, what they want to have, what they want to be. It's your own private list. And if it's really private, just put some stuff in there in code if it falls in unfriendly hands so they can't understand it. Simple things, foolish things, it doesn't matter. Just keep your list of goals so it shows your growth, your philosophy that shows your ability to change and grow. Jim Rohn's boss said to him one day, when you was making his first list, it looks like we'll be together for a long time. I have a suggestion for you. I think one of the first goals that you ought to set, you're a 25-year-old American male. Sure, you've made mistakes, but now you're on the road to better things. You have a family worth it. Reasons make the difference. You've got every reason to do this, so why don't you set a goal to be a millionaire? A millionaire. This is America, he thought. All the possibilities are available. Why don't you set a goal to be a millionaire? He thought enough zeros to impress his accountant. A millionaire. Oh, he thought, has a nice ring to it. Then his boss says to him, here's why. Jim thought the man doesn't need to teach him why. He said, wouldn't it be great to have $1 million? He said, no, that's not why. Here was Jim's reasons. Jim's boss's reasons. Set a goal to become a millionaire, and here's why. For what it will make of you to achieve it. For what it will make of you to achieve it. What a brand new reason to set goals. For what it will make of you to achieve it. It's not having $1 million. It's the journey. Getting there. What it will make of you to achieve it. A challenge to have a better vision. Okay, and the last but not least, the last thing I'm going to tell you to do, which is the ninth of the nine simple exercises to attract money or increase your income, is make a vision board. Cut pictures out of magazines, newspapers, print off the computer, whatever it is. Take pictures with your camera and paste or tape them on a big board, cork board, big piece of cardboard, or just a poster board. But start gathering pictures of what you want. Get pictures and make a vision board that you can look at every day and dream about it. Imagine it. Feel it. And that's the most important. Feel it. Feel it as if you already have it. How would you feel if you had what you got, what you actually put on that vision board? How would you feel if you've already accomplished it, if you've already done it? Put pictures of things that you want to buy, things you want to do, things you want to see, things you want to hear, things you want to have, things you want to learn. And they could be, you know, there's so many things that you could put on there. Things that you want to do is playing baseball, parachuting, own your own business. Things you want to see could be places or books or people. Could be many things. Things you want to hear, CDs, books, people, seminars, things you want to have. That could be anything from an iPod to a house, a marriage, a family, kids. Things you want to learn, how to use a computer, how to cook, how to play a game, play sports, or just ordinary simple things that you want, or extraordinary things that you want, but make a vision board and work on it a little every day. Start that vision board, and every time you see something, a picture or words or something that reminds you of something that you want to have or be or do or see or hear, just cut it out or get a copy of it and put it on your vision board. Make that vision board a very prime center of your life. And at least every day, look at it a little every day, and at least once a week, look at it and imagine and feel and think about daydream as if for 15 minutes of actually having everything on that board. Okay. Now, we've got a few minutes here. I'm going to, that was the nine simple things, nine simple exercises that you can do to attract money or to increase your income. And we're going to start on, there was a little green book that was put out over 100 years ago called The Science of Getting Rich. That little book called The Science of Getting Rich is what a group of people, masters of the mind, put together to make the movie called The Secret. The Secret is a very good film. If you've not seen it, I would strongly suggest that you watch it. Now, I'm going to start on going through the lessons on the science of getting rich. And we're just going to work through those because we talked in the very beginning. If you missed that session, that segment of this particular course, I would suggest that you go back and to the one on the universal laws. There are 12 primary universal laws, and then there are many minor laws, but they all work, and they all either work against you or for you. It depends on if you understand them and if you can work with them. The most powerful universal law is the law of attraction. So that is the most important one. If you learn how to use that, then you can create the life you want, but you still are going to have things that's going to hold you back if you have any kind of hate or anger for anybody in your life for any reason. You have to forgive. One of the universal laws, you have to forgive anyone or anything that has ever caused you any harm. Now, The Science of Getting Rich, Lesson 1, this was put together by a group of masters of the mind that did The Secret. And the big question is why does wealth lie in the hands of a few, while large numbers of humanity remain in a perpetual state of poverty? Millions of people are already using the law of attraction to make their lives successful. It's no longer a secret, but a household term that is rightfully being given the attention deserves. You can learn how to use the law of attraction to create whatever you want in life, be it money or love or happiness, or generate abundance. But in this case, and indeed in this book that inspired The Secret, we're going to focus on generating abundance, money, and wealth, which of course begs the question, why manifest money first? Well, the law of attraction, as explained in The Secret, teaches you how you can have, be, and do whatever you want in life. So why focus on money? Well, money on its own is neither good nor bad. It is a means to an end. However, there's an urgent need for teaching the laws of creation, money, to the world. Take any group of 100 people at the start of their working career and follow them for 40 years until they reach retirement age, and here's what you'll find. According to Social Security Administration, the statistics show that of 100 people, 40 years later, only one will be wealthy, four will be financially secure, five will continue working, not because they want to, but because they have to, 36 will be dead, and 54 will be dead broke. Depending on the meager Social Security checks, relatives, friends, and even charity for a minimum standard of living. That means that's 5% successful and 95% unsuccessful. These, of course, are U.S. statistics. In the rest of the world, especially the developing world, the situation is far worse. What makes this 5% different? Think it's luck, education, intelligence? No, it's not. There are millionaires with college degrees and millionaires with very little education. There are millionaires who were born rich, and there are millionaires who were once dead broke and homeless. There are millionaires in developed country, but also millionaires in poor nations. There are plumbers who are millionaires, and there are doctors who are starving. There is no single quality that stands out among the wealthy except just one, and that is that wealthy people in the world understand and use the law of attraction in their daily lives. The millionaires understand that abundance is there for the taking. It is not a win-lose situation. There is enough for everyone. We can all be rich. There is enough for everyone. But humanity must learn to harness the correct thought process of attracting wealth. You can call it whatever you want, whether it's the system, the method, the solution, the formula. Call it what you want. The science used by all the wealthy and wise people through centuries of time can be yours. But first, friend, I want to answer a question. How do you feel about wealth? See, it's not just possible to live a really complete or successful life unless you're rich. In order to unfold the soul and to develop talent, you must have many things to use, and you cannot have these things unless you have the money to buy them. How do you feel about that statement? Well, many people are very uncomfortable when talking about money. Remember that feeling is a conscious awareness of the vibration that you're in? If you're not comfortable around the idea that you deserve to be rich, it's because you're dealing with an idea that is foreign to your conditioned nature. We're going to help you work right through that feeling until it becomes comfortable. Have you ever noticed that wealthy people are very comfortable about talking about money? Wealthy people know that it requires wealth to do great things. They know that the good you can do without money is confined. Your own physical presence in a given place. To extend beyond your physical presence requires money. At some point in their life, they made the decision to extend beyond their physical boundaries to increase their service to a larger audience in need of their product or service. And in so doing, riches invariably came their way. Are you attracting or are you resisting wealth from entering into your life? Do you need the science of getting rich into your life? Try this quick exercise and check the ones that is true. I desire more abundance in my life. I'd like to be earning a far greater income. I want to provide more for my family. I sometimes worry about money. I work hard but don't see the income I desire. There are things in life I want but cannot afford. Without my current job, I have no other streams of income. Now, imagine if you could use your mind to manifest these decisions without wavering because it's crystal clear where you need to be and what you need to do. Imagine if you could create this life of your dreams. Imagine thousands of lives benefiting from your creation, whether it's a book or a work of art or a business. Imagine creating jobs, changing lives, creating products that benefit humanity. Imagine being a shining light, a bringer of wisdom and enlightenment to your community. How would your family benefit? Whom would you influence? What would you seek to change about this world? How will you be remembered when you pass on? Whom will you teach? Or the biggest question of all, what will be your mark on humanity? And it's not just about money. It's about becoming the real you. And in the video called The Secret, Reverend Michael Beckwith explains how you can be of greater service to the world once you understand the spiritual principles in The Science of Getting Rich. The inspiration for the film was The Secret, and the inspiration for the movie came from the simple little book that was written in 1910. It's called The Science of Getting Rich, and its author is Wallace Wattles, Wallace D. Wattles. Now, here's a summary of Wallace D. Wattles' book called The Science of Getting Rich. There is a universal energy from which all things are made. This energy fills the entire space. When you form a thought in your head, you tap into this energy, and you actually create that which you are thinking about. Mankind has the ability to create a thought and cause the subject of the thought to be created within his field of universal energy. To activate this ability, we must learn to harness our creative mind. Typically, we function with our competitive mind, but to create things with thought, we need to activate the creative mind. We can come into harmony with this universal energy through the act of expressing gratitude. Gratitude unifies our mind with this all-encompassing universal energy. To manifest something new, simply hold an image of what you seek in your mind and express gratitude to the universe for having granted this to you. To achieve wealth, apply the same principle. Hold a clear vision of the wealth that you hope to attain, then express gratitude that this wealth is coming to you. You must have unwavering faith and devout gratitude. All that you include in your mental image will come to you through your physical realm, through the process of natural ways such as trade and commerce. Okay, to claim this wealth, you must be active. You must do all that you can do each day to make this vision a reality. Especially strive to deliver to others something of value greater than what they paid you for. Those who practice these instructions will get rich, and the riches they receive will be in the exact proportion to the defineness of their vision and the fixity of their purpose, the steadiness of their faith, and the depth of their gratitude. Now, the power that lies within you, tell me this, who who are you really? Peer within yourself and you'll find that you're made of molecules. And you peer further and you're going to find these molecules are made of atoms. If you go even further, the atoms are made of protons, neutrons, and electrons, elementary particles dancing a cosmic dance. But go one step deeper, and now you're no longer matter, but energy, pure energy. Everything in this world, everything is made up of this universal energy, including you. We are pure energy. We are all like living human magnets. We attract to us what we think about, meaning that we attract to us at the same vibration of the vibration that we put out. We're like living human magnets. Think of an experience from a childhood, something that you remember very clearly, something that you can see, feel, maybe even smell as if you were really there. After all, you really were there at the time, weren't you? How else would you remember it? But here is the bombshell. You weren't there. Not a single atom that was in your body today was there when that event took place. Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Whatever you are, therefore, you are not the stuff of which you are made. If that doesn't make the hair stand on your back, I don't know what will. I'm going to read that again. Now, I just explained that your molecules, you break them down and they become atoms. You break down the atoms and you have protons, neutrons, and electrons. Well, you break that down, look into it further, and you are pure energy. Everything in the universe is energy, including you. So if you think back to a childhood when you can think about something that you can remember, see, feel, even smell, were you there? Well, you must have been because you remember it and you think you were there. But you weren't. Not one single atom that is in your body today was there when that event took place. Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Whatever you are, therefore, you are not the stuff of which you are made. You are energy in a physical form. Or to use the spiritual concept, you are a soul within a physical body. You are a soul within a physical body. Forget the religious definition of God for a moment. Just think of God, an all-encompassing universal force. The energy that makes up the universe. A rock may still look like it's a rock, and it may look still, but it's not. Because within that rock are trillions of subatomical particles whizzing about and brimming the energy. Rock is pure energy and movement. Its solidity and stillness are purely an illusion. If everything is made up of energy, and this energy is what we know as God, or a higher consciousness, then that means you are a part of God. Like every rock, every animal, every tree, every planet, spinning around every distant star. You too are pure energy. And without a difference, you are conscious of yourself. The self-awareness, when directed, can allow you to dictate what experiences you choose to bring into your world. That which you think about, you create. Because thoughts are things. That which you think about, good or bad, you create into your own reality. We all work with one infinite power. We all guide ourselves by the same law, the one law that is called the law of attraction, and that which you think about, you attract into your life. The law of attraction is always working without fail. It works all the time for everyone, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. You can never escape it. You're attracting everything that comes into your life. Whether you understand this law, you can understand the secret, and your car now, even your car, and dictate now what you choose to come into your life. When you set goals, you can set large goals just as easy as you can set small ones. And so, you know, if you're a small thinker, then continue thinking small. But when you set a goal, just remember, it's just as easy to attract that large goal as it is the small one. So now I ask you, what do you think about? Here lies the problem. If you're one of these people that watch The Secret and you said it doesn't work for you and you don't understand why, It's because it's all about your dominant thoughts and your dominant feelings. So if you have feelings of anything below, and we're going to talk about this next week, is the feelings. We're going to talk about feelings next week because that is where a lot of power comes into play into what you attract. What you think, your dominant thoughts, what you feel, your dominant feelings, determines whether you are vibrating a high vibration or low vibration, but however you vibrate, good or bad, there's only two kinds of feelings, two kinds. There's only two emotions. Those that are good, that feel good, and then those that are feel bad. So if you are having bad feelings, which is jealousy, anger, hate, depression, it goes on and on, there's actually a scale of feelings. And if you're feeling a feeling below a scale of 8, then you are not attracting into your life, I'm sure, things that you do not want. You think, I want to be debt-free, but oh my gosh, I just got another repair bill, and oh, now I've got another problem, and now I've got to buy this, and now I've got to repair this, and I've got some extra bills, and they just keep coming. Focusing on the lack of and having fears and worries is only going to attract more of it. Whatever you worry about, whatever your fears are, whatever you focus on, you attract more of it. Those who speak of illness have more of it. Those who speak of prosperity have more of it. Those who speak of poverty have more of it. So I would suggest that you be careful about what you think, and especially about how you feel. Remember, happiness comes from within. No one makes anyone else happy. You might think so, but that's not true. If your husband says, "Do I make you happy?" you can honestly say, "No, I make myself happy." Happiness comes from within. It's not any money, it's not anything, it's not anybody that makes anyone happy. It has to come from within. Okay, here's the current reality trap here. In The Science of Getting Rich, Wallace says, you have the gnat and the inherent power. You have the natural inherent power to think what you want to think, but it requires more effort to do so than you think the thoughts that are suggestible by appearances. You have the natural ability to think whatever you want to think. You're in control. Remember, you're captain of your soul, master of your fate. So I tell you, well, think good thoughts. And that's when somebody said, "But CJ, I have all these bad thoughts that just keep flowing into my head and I can't help it." Well, you haven't gotten control of your negative thinking. Negative thinking is nothing more than a bad habit. And the more negative thoughts that you think, it just one negative thought leads to another and it's a down spiral from there. So I strongly suggest that you go back to the previous segments and learn how to get rid of negative thinking. Little simple exercises by using the rubber band, post-it notes, keep focusing on the positive things, and just keep filling the head with the positive thoughts, the positive things. Stay away from people who bring you down, make you feel bad, upset you. Now, what Wallace is saying here is that when you think according to what you see around you, the current appearance of things, what you see as your result right now, it's easy to keep thinking that way. You keep thinking based on the physical world. I mean, how in the world do you expect to get yourself out of the current result? You don't know how it's going to change. So how can you think of it actually happening? It's true. Thinking your way out of your current result does, thinking your way out of the current result does work. In fact, Wallace Wattles says the same when he writes, "I think truth, regardless of appearance, is laborious and requires a lot of expenditure of more power than any other work a person has to perform. But the key is, it can be done. As a child, you were probably programmed in much the same way as what I was, although this programming started when we were babies, receiving report cards in the elementary school is a great example. It's pretty universal to all of us. We were trained to look at the grades on a report card rather than focus on the image of the grade that we desired. We learn to let our results control our thinking instead of the other way around. Are you understanding this yet? Think about your debt and what you're attracting as you get more debt. Worry about your health and disease, and that's what you attract, more ill health. See, because our thinking only and always controls the outcome. We need to be completely focused on and be thinking about the different results than what we currently have. As Joyce Meyer always said, if you want to change your life, you have to start by changing your thinking. It's time to escape the current reality trap and start creating a future anew. Okay, stay tuned for next week, and we're going to go over the lesson 2 of the science of getting rich. If you want to replay this, you can replay it as many times as you want to until you understand it, until it soaks in. I know I go a little bit fast, but you can replay it. And thank you for joining me. And if you have any questions, you can email me at thehypnosisqueen. That's thehypnosisqueen at AOL.com, thehypnosisqueen@AOL.com. You can email me if you have questions or if you need some help, or you can go to my website or my blog, thehypnosisqueen.com. The blog is yourmindhowtouseit.blogspot.com. Or you can get my CDs on cdbaby.com or on amazon.com. And thank you for joining us.